He's John Lazor. He's the voice of the Hokies, brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff there for you in any case. And I do want to point this out real quick. Our friends at Cowan Gates are going to be holding their fourth semi-annual Frank Cowan Memorial Blood Drive from 10 to 2 on Friday, January 20th. You can sign up cowangates.com. I signed up yesterday. I'm in the 10-15 slot. I recommend you doing the same. It is in honor of Frank Cowan, who was able to receive many generous donations while he was fighting against leukemia. It's Friday, January 20th. All the information will be on my page, foxsportsrichmond.com. Lays joining us from Blacksburg, where last night the Hokies come home, win against Syracuse, and I guess they lived up to that motto of there's no place like home.
Yeah, it's been a little bit crazy this year in the ACC, hasn't it? But certainly in the Hokies' case, they've looked like two very different teams, home and road, West, but it was a sorely needed effort last night. I thought they played much better defensively, particularly in the transition aspect of the game, and got Seth Allen back, and I don't think you can understate his importance to this team, and looked like the same team, although I didn't think they played quite as well as they did against Duke, but a similar type team, and had more than enough to take care of Syracuse.
I heard the message before, and I was listening to Buzz a little bit afterwards. The message was, in the alley, in the alley. And Zach Ledeh was definitely in the alley. He even – I saw his comments to Mike Barber this morning in the Times-Dispatch. He was actually kind of amazed how open he was at times.
Yeah, I was too, to be quite honest with you. When you go against that Syracuse zone, and it was funny, I was talking to Matt Park, who's the voice of the Orange. We had lunch yesterday, and he said Jim Boeheim – of course, it's a lot of fun to be around. They don't shoot around. They haven't had shoot around in 30 years, and just kind of very low-key when it comes to things like that. And they were going through film yesterday, and they were looking on the defensive end, some of the Tech's offensive sets, and he said, all right, fast forward. They're not going to do anything that everybody else doesn't do against the zone. And largely, he was right, but what Tech was able to do was bypass the high post and the free throw line entry against that zone, which for the most part, you have to do. There was plenty of times when they did have to facilitate from there, but the vision from the top and from the wings to get it down to the block extended on the baseline, you don't normally see against Syracuse, and you also don't normally see the volume of dunks against that zone, particularly from Zach Ledeh in the first half. And that's what the Hokies are known for, Wes. If they're going to be a tournament team and a successful team like I feel they will, it's their ball movement and passing in the half court and the rapid nature of it, and I thought that was evident, particularly in the first 10 minutes last night. They really carved up that zone, and Ledeh, although he was the beneficiary, was just that. It was the wing and guard play from the Hokies and the ability to get the ball down low rapidly.
I always try to point this out. One of the hardest things to do in sports, and you as a longtime baseball announcer know this, one of the hardest things to do in sports is have consistency. But Chris Clark now, 8 straight digit points, 17 last night, 7 rebounds. He's kind of been that Mr. Reliable there for the Hokies when things have not always been reliable for Virginia Tech.
No, it's absolutely right. He's the most talented player on this team. We said that last year, and it didn't necessarily manifest itself statistically, particularly because he missed those 9 games with that fractured foot. But he's an NBA player, in my opinion, and I think the scary thing for him, but opposition maybe more clearly, is the fact that he's only scratched the surface, because a lot of times he's succeeding because of athleticism and not necessarily refinement in his game. But Buzz Williams always says he's the finest passer on this team. We see that 7 last night, and he plays with an unselfish nature, or has an unselfish nature. He scored 11 points in the first half last night, then didn't score again until there were about 5 minutes left, and that wasn't because he was playing poorly. It's because he was opening things up for other people, because the Syracuse adjustment was obviously to limit him and Zach Ledeh. And his jump shot, that's the clear weakness in his game, and he still gets to the basket despite the fact that he doesn't have perimeter respect, and he works on that diligently. And once he's able to confidently take those shots, make a few in game play, and even if he just gets a sliver of respect from the outside to give him an extra quarter step to the basket, he's going to be nearly unguardable.
You mentioned the difference between this team on the road and at home. Got 3 here, including last night, Syracuse, Notre Dame coming up on Saturday, and then Georgia Tech. How big is this stretch here for Virginia Tech? Not just for their tournament hopes, but maybe kickstart February into March.
It's huge, and you can't understate it. And Buzz Williams, if you heard our pregame conversation yesterday, I basically said that to him. Is there a balance between stressing the importance of this game and not stressing your team by stressing the importance of the game? And he said 1,000%, maybe you should be the coach of the team. I think that was tongue-in-cheek, Wes, but sometimes that maybe not be a bad idea. But, yo, you needed to come home and go at least 2-3 because you have to hold serve, obviously, or 2-1, excuse me, in the three games. You have to hold serve. Obviously, the goal is 3-0, and you have three opponents coming in, including Syracuse now, that you feel as though you match up with and you can compete with, particularly on your home floor. But you just can't afford, with that stretch at home, to fall under 500 in conference play, because digging your way out, no pun intended, that's the team motto, on the road in the ACC is nearly impossible.
Hokies getting a win last night, 83-73 over Syracuse. Saturday, it's number 20, Notre Dame rolling into Castle. He's John Lazor. He is the voice of Virginia Tech, brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff there for you in any case. We'll get a couple football questions in here pertaining to Virginia Tech, but I know you were watching on Monday night, and I know there's this pride fest among the ACC right now after Clemson's, well, the ACC's big boy beat the SEC's big boy. Your opinion? Guy covers this league, broadcasts this league. What did Monday night not just do for Clemson, but for the Atlantic Coast Conference?
Well, I think it solidified the fact that they're the conference of now, and this season they were the finest conference in terms of top-to-bottom depth, and they also had some favorable matchup in the bowls, and it's always going to be a subjective thing, and you're going to look at it from conference to conference, and SEC backers are going to claim, well, you haven't seen the depth, and you haven't seen the gauntlet that is our week-to-week schedule and the fact that teams get beat up and skew the results, but the public doesn't necessarily care about that on a national perspective, and when you're looking at perception, the ACC currently has the finest perception in the country, and that's hard earned. And I think the thing about the ACC West is it's not a one-off. It's not this year where Clemson surprised everybody. They were supposed to be there, and they were the better team in that game on Monday night. I felt at least the most complete team and certainly deserved to win that game. But then you also look at Florida State's big win in the bowl and the ascension of a lot of these programs. Obviously, we feel as though Virginia Tech is headed right in the back in the right direction towards national relevance. I'm sure the fans in Miami feel that way as well. Georgia Tech had a solid season this season. I don't think anything can go anywhere but up for Virginia. So you've got programs on the rise in the ACC, and you have a handful of those in the Big Ten as well, but maybe not necessarily the case in the SEC. And if nothing else, I don't think it's established a clear dominance for the ACC, but it's definitely balanced things. And I think that's good for college football, whether or not my old friends in Alabama think so or not.
And also factor in the Heisman Trophy winner and the guy that some people say you should vote for the Heisman after the bowls, who should have been the Heisman Trophy winner. John Lazor, I got some more football. I got some Hokies football mixed in. We haven't left ample time to do a quality lightning round in a long time. So
that's okay. Why not just ask you now, how are you enjoying The Bachelor this year?
We'll find out next here on Fox Sports 910. Wes McElroy.
Quite a bit.
John Lazor, brought to you by Cowan Gates. Why is Grayson Allen back in the news? Tell you at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. Wes McElroy, John Lazor, brought to you by Cowan Gates. 11 attorneys on staff and there for you in any case. Talking about the Hokies' win over Syracuse last night. Also talking about Clemson's win and what it means for the ACC. And lays the transition before we go to the lightning round, since we're talking about the ACC and brought up the Coastal. Obviously, we talked about Jerod Evans' departure last week. Mitch Trubisky now out. Deshaun Watson now leaving for the NFL. It is going to be a whole lot of fun when we get to the ACC kickoff to try to figure out who exactly is the favorite in the ACC Coastal next year.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, Kurt Benkert being the graduate transfer over to Virginia, and then Justin Thomas, as Bud Foster saying, just concluding his eighth season at Georgia Tech. So it's going to be a lot of fun to determine where people are. And I know one of the questions you had for me was what was the most thing that I'm excited about coming back for the fall next year. And that's what it is for Virginia Tech, not due to the fact that you lost Jerod Evans. That's clearly not a positive, but at the same time, I'm very eager to see what having a less stress-filled calendar year will mean for implementing the full Justin Fuente, Brad Cornelison offense, regardless of who's running it. And I can't wait to see that because, again, I said barely scratching the surface in reference to Chris Clark in the previous segment, and I think that's what you can also say about the Hokies' offense this year. I really don't think they played fundamentally the way that Brad and Justin really want to, and I think we're going to see that next year, which is exciting.
I know they bring in A.J. Bush, this transfer, junior college transfer out of Iowa Western, had some time in Nebraska. Clearly not the numbers that will hype things up like what Jerod Evans had. I got to tell you, Lays, though, you just said about a full year to implement the plan. The stir of the buzz that Josh Jackson calls last year, I'm interested. I feel like he's the guy. So looking forward, you know, whatever A.J. Bush may be, and I don't know anything about him, we'll find out here quickly in the spring, but I'm very interested to see a year with Fuente and Josh Jackson and the spark that he calls last year. What's that do with a full year under his belt working with the head coach?
a lot, and obviously he's a coach's son from Michigan as well, so he's been around the game all of his life and learned it from a coach's perspective, which is clearly a little bit different than just having a fan's perspective. But no, they love this kid, and having been around him a little bit, you can see why. He's very mature in the way that he leads his team in and out of practice, and the very regimented way in which they like to go through practice, particularly offensively. So I'm with you. I think right now, if you had the depth chart and you were walking into Justin's office, you would see that his name's on top of it. And you're right, it's an intrigue to add people to that competition, and that's certainly a positive going forward. But I think the plan going into spring is that this is Josh Jackson's team, and we don't know a ton about how he'll react to that and how he'll play physically, but I think everybody around here believes that he has the capability to be a multi-year starter, and a guy that you look back on, this is getting way ahead of ourselves, but a guy that'll grow into that role, blossom week to week starting this year, and really be a mature leader of this football team despite the classification in terms of his experience that'll carry next to his name.
John Lazor, Wes McElroy, time for a lightning round. All right, Lays, 5 questions for you, 5 questions for me. Let's start. Number one. Carl Edwards is retiring today at 37 years of age, the same years of age you are. If you want $1 billion tomorrow in the lottery, you walking away from radio?
No, I'm not, but I'm walking away from the 99% of this business that people don't get to see, which is all the technical side and the logistics and all of that stuff. I'm showing up, I'm putting on the headset, and I'm calling the game. And also, because he's probably listening this morning, I'm buying the Flying Squirrels and tinkering with things a little bit there, too, in terms of who has what office, Parney. Next. Football coalescing with basketball, West. Is it fair to say right now the ACC is the strongest all-around conference in the country?
I would even factor in the Olympic sports, but not a lot of people care about that. Yeah. Taking a look at the strength, I mean, and the ACC this year, as crazy as it's shaping up to be, as we see last night, as you saw Saturday, it's not just Duke, it's not just North Carolina, Notre Dame's in the mix, Virginia, Florida State is having a very, very solid season. And then you factor in with football, and I know it feels like what we just talked about with the Coastal, you get the chalkboard and you erase that all going in the next year. But for the time being, whether it be reality, whether it be perception, yeah, it feels like the ACC, it feels like those fine folks in Greensboro have a lot to brag about. Packers or Dallas on Sunday?
Dallas. I think that offensive line will have their way, and on their home field are going to advance. I know there's a lot of momentum behind the Packers, but even in their win over the Giants, I thought you saw pretty significant problems on both sides of the football. And with no Jordy Nelson, he's not going to play with 2 broken ribs. I'm fairly positive I'm going with Dallas in that one.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!
Speaking of, was that the worst NFL wildcard weekend you can ever remember? And if so, is it fitting of the season we've seen to this point?
I usually like when things live up to the hype, but I had no hype about that weekend, and it gave me absolutely nothing. Besides watching an impressive second-half performance by Aaron Rodgers, I was quite bored. Yeah, I'm usually anticipating, exciting. Now, this is my favorite weekend of the playoffs because it feels like we cut out the fat, but felt like we had a whole lot of fat last weekend. So, yes, in a long time, that is the weakest wildcard weekend I do remember. So Keurig and Anheuser-Busch are teaming up to build an in-home booze brewer. It's a Keurig where you could use beer or cocktails. If I bought you one for your birthday, what's in yours?
Which you better. It's in August, by the way.
August 15th, yeah. Right?
Yeah, that's a tough call. I think there's probably Maker's Mark in there, but a Bailey's machine wouldn't be too bad if I could mix Bailey's and coffee or Bailey's and cream and put all those coffee recipes in there. Yeah, let's get on that.
Makers.
Price tag might be a little steep, but.
You're the voice of the Hokies. You're living the high life. Roll with it. Next.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, let's go back to our commercial cliffhanger. I haven't seen a second of it thus far this season, but I know that you have. Thoughts on The Bachelor thus far?
I haven't.
Oh, come on.
No, Katie gave it up 2 seasons ago. This is the 2nd season, and she is going cold turkey, man. Like I gave up smoking, she is going cold turkey. Not a single episode.
I haven't watched one. Just last year, where you got locked out of the bedroom because you didn't have the appropriate reaction to somebody winning the rose ceremony.
That was 2 years ago. Well, 2 seasons ago, because I think there's like 2 seasons each year. There was something last year that ticked her off, and then she lost her mind because the dude that they brought back this year, I think he's had like 4 different appearances. So she's going fooey on it. She's now got me into this show. We were watching it last night. The Wall. The game show looks like the big Plinko board.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, it's addictive. It is extremely, ridiculously addictive. But no Bachelor this year. How about you guys watching it?
No, as I said, I haven't seen a second of it in decades, but I like to rib you because, again, going back all many years, people that are just tuning into the show for the first time, and good for you, it's the finest show on radio in Richmond, don't know that Wes one time submitted his own tape to try to be The Bachelor.
It was my mom.
It's been too long since we've talked about
that. It was my mom. You know the story. Jackass. I'll talk to you next week.
See ya.
Jerk. Love ya. See ya. John Lazor, ladies and gentlemen, brought to you by Cowan Gates.